I first met Sarah Elizabeth Ferris when she liked WMRA on Facebook. This took me to her blog where, as Bob just told you, Sarah Elizabeth describes herself as writer, artist, cancer patient. In our face-to-face conversation, I learned that 5 years ago, Sarah Elizabeth, then 26 and a Montessori teacher, had been diagnosed with ocular melanoma, a very rare form of cancer. And as the cancer has metastasized to her liver, Sarah Elizabeth expects to die from it as well.
Melanoma on its own is a pretty gnarly beast, and this particular type of melanoma is very different than the traditional type that we're all familiar with. It's its own genetic mutation. It doesn't respond to any of the traditional things that would be used to treat regular melanoma or skin melanoma. And it's considered fatal. Most patients with this diagnosis don't live more than a year after it metastasizes to the liver. But we luckily caught it early, and I was a good candidate for resection to have it cut out of my liver. So that's what we did last spring. And so, the idea is you cut it out if you can cut it out. And eventually, at some point, it pops up where you can't cut it out. And you just sort of have to live with that knowledge that it one day will kill you.
You're awfully young to start dealing with death on a personal level. Are you angry?
I'm not generally a very angry person, so...
You don't look angry.
And I try...
You look like sunshine.
I try. Somebody told me, you know, you get all kinds of interesting advice. Somebody told me once that the liver is the seat of anger in Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I better not get too angry. I don't want to feed the cancer. Cancer doesn't need any more help. I'm not so much angry as I'm just so frustrated with my predicament. I feel stuck a little bit regarding what I can and can't do.
In what way?
Well, you know, I'm not capable of teaching right now. Then that sucks. I don't have that kind of energy to be in a classroom with 20 kids. I just can't do it. I can't maintain that. And I'm angry. I guess you could say I'm angry about that, but it's more sadness than anything. I have a storage room in my house where I have all of these boxes of teaching materials and lesson plans. And I still get these ideas. Oh, that would be a really great song to teach the children for Easter, or, you know, ooh, that's a really interesting idea for a history lesson. And I keep this notebook of ideas and, but you know, so I feel like my life was hijacked by cancer and I was going one way and now that's not really an option anymore. So.
Does any part of you see this death sentence? Is that too? I mean,
no.
Is too strong a
it's not
word?
Too strong.
As a creative opportunity,
it has been. I went back to graduate school and got my degree in education, and then trained to be a Montessori teacher because I knew that I'd be really good at it, and I would enjoy it, and it would be a joyful way to spend my time. And because I was really attracted to that academic schedule, there's nothing like having 3 months off in the summertime.
Yes.
Who else gets that kind of schedule?
Nobody.
Who cares if you get paid peanuts? You work 7 months out of the year by the time you count up all of the weekends and spring breaks and, you know, whatever. But so, and my thought was this would give me a way to work with children in an alternative setting that would give me plenty of time off to focus on my other passions, which are writing and visual arts. And what I discovered is that there is no halfway in my life. Halfway is BS, you know? And so when I was teaching, that's all I did. And so what I found was I wasn't using the weekends and the summers to do these other things. So I had the really distinct feeling that when this happened, it was the universe going, You're not paying attention to these other gifts. What are you doing? You have a notebook full of ideas, but you haven't started writing about any of them yet. And so now we're just going to create a situation where you're not going to have any other choice but to sit at home and write and paint and draw and color and play Barbies with your 8-year-old neighbor. So that's your life now. And it's not such a bad life.
I'm trying to walk around in your shoes, mm-hmm. which, of course, I cannot do.
I think anyone who's struggled can walk around in my shoes.
A temptation would be to sort of feel as though I were sitting around waiting to die.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you feel? Do you try to fend that off or do you embrace it?
Well, I do feel like there's always that, you know, shoe hanging over my head just waiting to drop. You know, when... okay, this month's scans were good. What about next month? So there is that feeling of what next? I know what's coming. I know it could come in 6 months. It could come in 5 years, but it's coming. Unless I get hit by a bus leaving this office today, I'm going to die from this. There's no changing that. So I have that knowledge. And it's weird. I was actually thinking about this yesterday. I was putzing around in the kitchen. I think I was making nachos. And I had this feeling of being on vacation. My life is my vacation. This human form is my vacation. And I know the trip's coming to an end soon. And so it's just a fact. And it's not super sad because we know we all have to go home sometime. But there's some things I need to do first. I need to get some things organized and I need to put some things away and I need to do some laundry first. But, you know, it's kind of that feeling of something coming to an end, a trip coming to an end. And so.
What happened to your relationships when this struck?
Well.
When you got hijacked?
I had people that were in my life, had been in my life since I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
Who just dropped off the face of the earth. They didn't know what to do. And it was frustrating at first and maybe a little painful, but I understood it. So I didn't spend a whole lot of time grieving that. And then I had people that I barely knew come out of the woodworks and just throw me fundraisers and bring me food and call me every day to see how I was doing. And for a while there, I think people were... They were awkward with me. They didn't know what to say or how to act or should they talk about the cancer? Should they not talk about the cancer? And I just sort of made a deal that if I was interested or in the mood or willing to talk about it, then I would be out and would be social. And if you didn't see me, it was because I wasn't in the mood to talk. So it was a safe bet that if I was hanging out with you, it was okay to bring it up.
Does faith come into play in your dealing with this?
Sure. I'm a spiritual mutt. My father was raised Southern Baptist. My mother was raised, oddly enough, Episcopalian and Catholic. They met in a non-denominational church, and then we became Mennonite. And after a while, I just sort of became profoundly spiritual. So,
what's there in that for?
Well, I think a profound sense that everything's going to be okay. That what I'm experiencing right now in this life as Sarah Elizabeth Ferris, it's not meaningless, but it's not all there is. And it's not really that important.
You're just hanging out.
Just hanging out. My mom tells this story of when I was about 2 years old that I came to her and said, I don't really like it here. And she didn't really understand at first. And then I went on to talk about how I want to go home. I just don't really like it on this planet. And I think I many times in my life had this sense of, you know, this is nice. Earth is great. People are cool. I really like ice cream. Pizza's gnarly, but I don't really care one way or the other. Not in a morbid way, not in a I want to die way, but just in a, this is really interesting. Fun experience. Gonna move on to the next thing pretty soon.
Do you have to fight off depression?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm sure. And I don't even realize I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I usually have to watch Sense and Sensibility to get a good cry in.
The surefire.
Jane Austen's a pretty good
choice. Jane Austen. If
I know I'm depressed if I'm crying at Jane Austen. So,
what's the most helpful, useful thing that the rest of us can do?
Don't ask what you can do. Just do something. Because you really put a cancer patient on the spot when you say, do you need anything? What can I do for you? Then it puts a lot of pressure on that person to actually call in that favor. And you already feel kind of helpless and not in control of what's happening to you. And so to then have to vocalize that interest in that help or specify a need just makes you feel even more vulnerable. So just to say, this is what I'm doing for you today. I'm coming over to do a load of laundry for you, or I am coming over to walk your dog for you this morning so you can sleep in, or just little stuff that doesn't seem like a big deal, but is a big deal because it's the little things that add up. And in fact, there was a great article that somebody shared with me recently. It was in the New York Times about, I think it was called You Look Great and Other Lies, What Not to Say to a Terminally Ill Patient or a Sick Person, rather. And it was pretty spot on, you know.
And the first thing I said to you is, my goodness, you don't look like a terminally ill person. She's still talking to me, you know.
Well, people can't help it. You don't know what to say. It's awkward. What do you say to somebody who you know has something that's going to kill them?
You strike me as having rallied formidable creative defenses to be a person who is living with cancer rather than a person who is dying of cancer.
I think the writing and the painting, it's not so much of an escape as it is just, it gives me something productive to focus on. And
useful.
And it's useful. And it's become useful for other people. I mean, it's not like I have a million blog hits a day. Yeah, I'm just another girl with a blog. It's a total cliche. Everybody has a blog now. But it has, for this small community of people who have this cancer and feel as though there are no resources out there for them and feel as though they have to defend their illness in the hierarchy of sickness that exists out there among patients, you know, it gives them something to look at and say, oh, I'm not alone. There's this other person out there who's having these same thoughts and these same feelings. And you know, instead of having a blog where it's, oh, woe is me and I'm sick and poor me, it's more honest than that. It's, this is what's happening and it sucks, but oh, well, moving on. Let's talk about this. And I don't know. I guess that's helpful.
It helps to say when things suck that they suck, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a concept.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I went to a cancer conference last year and I was the youngest person there. And to my knowledge, I had probably one of the more life-threatening, rare cancers. And I was the only one who didn't look sick. And you felt kind of defensive and protective all of a sudden about my cancer because I felt that, you know, well, I'm sick too. I have this too. I don't care that. I mean, I know my head's not bald and I don't look really like I'm on knocking on death's door, but I'm sick too. And it's so invisible. It's so invisible. You walk around knowing that you're dying of this disease, and not knowing when you're going to start feeling really sick, but you don't look like it and nobody really knows what's going on. Do you talk about it and make people uncomfortable? Do you just not say anything? So I think channeling that frustration and that angst and that just not knowing what to do about it into something more creative, like writing or drawing or whatever, helps.
When I asked to talk to you, why did you say yes?
I think partly because I thought it might be an opportunity for people who have ocular melanoma to get a little bit more recognition. Mm-hmm. And also because I thought, you know, here's somebody who's really genuinely curious about what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. So, sure, I'll talk about it. Why not?
Why not, indeed. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You'll find a link to Sarah Elizabeth Farris's blog, which is subtitled A Cancer Girl's Guide to the Universe, on our website, WMRA.org. I talked to Sarah Elizabeth earlier this week to find out she's having yet another surgery to try to contain her rampaging cancer. She asked me to pass on a piece of advice. Get your eyes checked by an ophthalmologist.